Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Friday edition. And Dominic, we've been joined by a fine guest, friend of ours. She's Milwaukee County Corporate Counsel, Maggie Dunn. How you doing, Maggie?
Nice hey, Maggie. To see you,
sister.
Hey, John's happy hot Friday here in the Badger State. Woo! It's a toasty one out there.
And to you as well.
Maggie, you know, not to digress for too long, but let me start with a digression. Earlier this week, our satellite dish, you know, we do radio, we get satellite stuff off the satellite. It's all magic. I don't know how it works, but Brian does mostly. And this week, our satellite dish probably got hit by a tornado. It's in pieces. It's like 100 yards away from the pole in all different directions. So either we got hit by some amazing straight line winds or a tornado in Columbus, Wisconsin this week. So I've been dealing with that. I've been thumbing it out, you know. So if I'm a little distracted or digress on the air, I apologize, sister. Those are the problems I live with.
Burdens of business ownership, indeed, sir. Best of luck with the big dish.
Yeah, big dish. Well, do you have any big dish for us, Maggie Dawn? I mean, we come on the air. Have you been watching the January 6th? Have you been watching the hearings? What has been your impression?
Yeah, so I watched the first two hearings almost in their entirety. I couldn't watch yesterday, but I read the coverage. I've watched clips. One of the most damning bits of testimony was, I think, unfortunately, written a bit academically or presented a little academically. It was the statement before the committee yesterday from former Judge J. Michael Luttig, who is a conservative jurist of impeccable credentials.
You know what I did not know? And we teased this guy. He was stop and start in his delivery of the material. I didn't know he was a recent victim of a stroke and made the public appearance despite this recent impediment.
And I'm also going to offer this. I don't think he was just struggling with his physical, recovery and where his body is physiologically after the stroke. I actually got choked up like reading his testimony in written form. I mean, you guys both remember when I called in that day, and I was literally completely beside myself with horror and grief at what I was seeing. And I think part of the reason that I was so struck by it was not just as a lawyer, but as a lawyer who clerked for a federal judge, as a lawyer who's worked in government, who advises governmental officials. And there's one, if you guys don't mind, there's one particular portion of Luttig's testimony that is specifically about the responsibility that befalls and rests upon the shoulders of lawyers that advise elected officials. And he is speaking as a conservative, and it is an absolutely definitive indictment of Eastman, Giuliani, Sidney Powell, every single one of those that aided and abetted this president in conspiring to commit treason. And that resulted, and this is, he says this literally within the first sort of opening portion of his testimony. This will forever be a historical fact. On January 6th, the prescribed day for choosing the American president, there was not a peaceful transfer of power for the first time in American history. And he says that because Pence didn't certify Biden as the winner until the wee hours of the morning on January 7th. And so if you don't mind, I wanted to highlight this for your listeners simply because of my experience. It was probably the portion of his testimony that it stunned me to silence, because he said it out loud. Here's just a few sentences, if y'all don't mind.
Yeah, go ahead, Maggie.
This is the judge testifying. Very few, and he's talking about lawyers here, very few ever have the honor of counseling the President of the United States of America. That highest of honors carries with it the highest of obligations. Counsel provided to the President of the United States must be the product of not only exquisite, penetrating legal analysis, but also profound, insightful legal judgment. These two combined are so far from mere technical legal competence as almost to be its polar opposite. The president and the country deserve nothing less from those who counsel the president. So consequential are the stakes for the nation when the president acts upon the advice of his or her counsel. Whatever else, the president of the United States did not receive such counsel during his sustained effort to overturn the 2020 presidential election. And here is the kicker. He doesn't let the president off the hook at all. He says this then: it is as much the former president's fault as anyone's that he did not. So in a very short amount of testimony, he basically says those who misadvised the president committed a grievous wrong against the citizenry of the United States and our democracy. And he says, but just because this guy got crappy legal advice does not excuse him from the consequences of his terrible decision-making. He goes on. From their inception, the legal arguments that underlaid the efforts to overturn the 2020 election were, in that context, little more than beguiling and frivolous, perhaps appropriate for academic classroom debate, but singularly inappropriate as advice to the President of the United States of America in his efforts to overturn the presidential election. It is breathtaking that these arguments were even conceived, let alone entertained by the President of the United States of America at that perilous moment in history. Stunning. And it was it gave me, for the briefest of moments, a glimmer of hope that someone who is extraordinarily far from me politically and probably what our values are and what we think should be the governing principles of this nation. But in this, myself and Judge Luttig agree that when you are a lawyer advising elected officials, you take that as a solemn obligation, not to be trifled with. And it's not just about getting it technically accurate. It's about the judgment that you bring to bear in executing those duties. Certainly, I'm nowhere at the level of advising the President of the United States, but I have always taken my obligation to advise elected officials extremely seriously. And it means that sometimes I have to tell them the stuff they don't want to hear.
Maggie Dawn, not to be trifling, but am I accurate in saying it's a coup at conception?
Yes. This is why, I mean, months ago, right, we've been talking about this, you guys, where I basically said every single one of these lawyers that presented any of these arguments should all lose their licenses. We swear an oath to the Constitution when you become a lawyer in any state in our union. And as soon as you articulate a way to undermine the will of our voters, to undermine an election, you have avowed to take down the American democratic system. I don't know any more clear of a violation of your oath as an attorney than that.
Maggie, I was struck by the judge's other statements, specifically laying down in the road to, you know, stop anybody from trying to overturn the election. And he concluded, this conservative judge, by stating that this is still, as we speak, as he testified, a clear and present danger to this country. And we have Trump today at this Faith and Freedom Conference up there on the stage saying the same things over and over and over again. And it just strikes me that, you know, this, if there is not some consequence to this, if there is not, you know, a prosecution for these crimes, he's going to continue to do this. Meg, are you any more confident today after the testimony, at least the first few hearings that we've seen, and apparently some cooperation going on between DOJ and the J6 committee as it pertains to some of the testimony they've received? How are you feeling about how this is all being presented as it's playing out right now, Maggie?
I think the hearings are really being brilliantly architected in terms of the vignettes and then tying them together and painting a picture of truly how horrifyingly close to a violent, sustained insurrection we had. I mean, we had the insurrection. They just lost, right? But Judge Luttig, as you point out, Dom, turned the prism from a backward-looking one to this knife's edge that we stand on right now and said, this is a threat, this is a war that is continuing. And every single one of these enablers, these aiders and abettors to treasonous conspiracies to over, it continues today. In my opinion, what President Trump did today is part and parcel of continuing criminal activity. The judge makes damn well clear. He basically says, if this isn't something that is universally condemnable, that we all can't say this is wrong, if we're wondering whether or not January 6th was an okay thing, reasonable political discourse, then that means that violent overthrow of our electoral processes is a completely fair option for the future. That's the clear and present danger he's talking about, and it is real. This is not hyperbolic. I'm one that likes to use hyperbole to make a point. And I would say perhaps during the first 2 years of Donald Trump's presidency, I was in my show maybe a bit hyperbolic. It ain't a hyperbole anymore.
Maggie Dawn, hardly ever hyperbolic. But we like her anyways. Devil's Advocates, come back with us. It's Friday. We air the grievances.